Good morning, everybody. This is Judith at Cope. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, yeah, yesterday's show was pretty long, but yeah, that's truly the origin story of how I know Arnell Simpson. And I don't have any unique, deep insights on OJ because I wasn't friends with him. And of all the time I spent with Arnell and spent at that house, the one where he was arrested after the murders, I was at that house many times and rarely saw him. You know, he was there in and out. He traveled constantly. And I mean, even though she was living with him, you just didn't see him that much. So I don't have any unique insights. Everything I know or felt, I shared yesterday. And those are the things I've just been thinking about and sharing with people over the last 30 years. Crazy. So yeah, and I was so young, but I've always been super observant. And the part of that time being out there, it just, I just couldn't get a good feel on the industry. And that experience, the OJ stuff really didn't play into that. That was just me hanging out with my friend and her rich dad. And the conversations and the laughs that we had from that. You know, she was raised completely differently than I was. Tons of disposable income. Her friends were super rich. One of her close friends is, well, a couple of her close friends are Beach Boys kids. So, I mean, they just had tons of cash. And they were fun. I wouldn't call all of them down to earth, but for the most part, they were a lot of fun and somewhat down to earth, their version of earth. But anyway, like I said, I don't have some deep insight into what happened. Those are just my observations from being around that family, and his family loves him very much. And what's interesting is, you know, people are nuanced. Nobody's one thing. You know, everybody's multiple things. And, you know, I don't know. That is one of the biggest mysteries in the world. And I really would love to know what happened. Just because. And, you know, I'm not absolving him of anything. That's just all I saw for myself. So my mom was up all night. I don't know. This disease is cruel and agonizing. So that neighbor I always talk about, his wife passed away in January, and he said that his bill for her, so that's the one who's paying $10,000 a month at one facility. They kicked her out because she lost use of her legs, and then he had to put her in another facility. And that one was charging close to $14,000 a month. And I keep forgetting to ask him what he did for a living. But he told me yesterday he's moving to his house in Scottsdale, Arizona. So he won't be my neighbor anymore. And he was a nice guy. Nice older gentleman. Very calm. Always pleasant. He goes for a lot of walks. So I would see him quite a bit. And you know, I'm going to miss him. He was a nice person to live near. We would always just have a couple of pleasantries. You know, he's got to be close to my mom's age. But it's hard to tell, you know. My mom is finally looking 87 to me. And he was outside when we went for our little walk. And, you know, that's the first time she's been outside this year, but also probably in like 7 or 8, maybe even 9 months. We managed to walk maybe 30 feet and come and, you know, stand and get a little sun and walk back. But yeah, I don't know. Aging in America it's almost impossible to do it with grace and dignity. They're not interested in that, you know. Another person I was talking to yesterday, her family has some money and they come from means. And she said, I don't know if it'd give you any comfort, but even the places where you spend a lot of money, you know, terrible things happen. they get neglected, and her grandfather was left in his own urine for hours. Apparently, he fell out of his chair in the cafeteria area, and no one would help him back up. And when her grandmother saw when her mother saw her grandfather on the floor like that, she asked the kitchen worker to help, and he was like, "That's not my job," which I'm gonna guess is probably like a movie set. You're the liability of someone in the kitchen going to help somebody on the floor is probably, it probably really is an issue. But I don't know that I could watch somebody just be on the floor. So I was like, nope, it's no comfort at all. So what I imagine will happen is that I'll put my mom in a facility and continue to use the home health workers just to go and make sure she gets what she needs and help me out, because I'm the only person, again, who will be able to go see about her regularly. So it's the beginning of a new journey. I can no longer prioritize her comfort over my well-being. It's really taking a toll this year. Probably all the years, but this is the first year where everything has just been back to back. We are not even out of April, and she's got another health crisis. This eye infection thing, like the whites of her eyes are fine, but the stuff all around her eye is really inflamed and red. And then trying to get her to take medicine is just, it's just a nightmare. I mean, she's a piece of work. And I know that everybody's, you read all these stories and you can see all these different personalities coming out. But I mean, I wouldn't mind if she was the sweet type, you know, just sweet and nice. And but she's not. She gets aggressive and mean. And it's weird because that was always a part of her personality. She was always kind of mean. So, you know, people are like, well, this is probably the disease. And it's like, maybe. But who knows? Because she was always kind of like this. So, I don't know. I'm excited, though. I got some work prospects, some things that would be really, really great for me on a professional level. I don't want to work for other people. So when I didn't get the job and they called and you didn't get the job or whatever, I'm like, that's great. Because I promised myself that the job I have would be the last one. But, you know, when morale is super low and you feel it when you walk in the door, everybody's worked in a toxic workplace before. And when you hit the door and it just sort of like, ugh, you feel it and you feels like you're walking through sludge all day. That's kind of like where I work now. Just like the morale is at an all-time low. And it's already really tough work. So to just not have solid leadership or anybody really, you know, making any effort to keep people in good cheer. It's rough. It really, really is rough. But anyway, it is what it is, and we're hanging in there, and we're doing our very, very best. So we're gonna keep it moving. I hope everybody has an amazing weekend. You know, I'm looking forward to, I don't know what's coming down the pipe. April has been a tough month, but they all have been. You know, I've been very productive, though. I'm getting a lot of stuff done, but it's so much work and effort. And I have recently become very familiar with how preposterous my schedule has been. You know, I literally only have help when I'm at work. So that means I'm coming out of work to go work some more for free, because there's no pay being a caregiver. And I really don't think I can do this much longer. It's been very, very challenging. And I took that week off last week and I was like, man, my schedule is brutal and not fun. So we're going to make some changes. It's going to be a year of change. And I don't know if you all are on the internet, but there's all kinds of stuff going on that makes me know that this is not just me feeling this by myself. Change is afoot. Puffy seems to be in a world of trouble. There was a thing on TikTok. Apparently some rapper I've never heard of was interviewed, and he was at a Puffy party, and he shared a very graphic story about Puffy having sex with the dad from Family Matters, like loud sex. And the way he told, I mean, he's a real New York street dude. The way he told the story, I think he wasn't New York. He was from L.A. because I think he talks about some kind of Crip on Crip life or something. I don't know. I'm not a gang aficionado. But apparently there was all this loud gay sex between Puffy and the father from Family Matters, who I always suspected was gay, just in his mannerisms. Anyway, it was pretty grody, really gnarly story, and it's like, yuck. Like, Puffy is Caligula. He will just have sex with anybody. It's like, what is this all about? What the fuck are these people doing out here? Like, so I would say Puffy's career began about the same time my career began. And it is not, to me, it's no small wonder that I did not get further in my career, because I was not going to go to no parties like that, and I certainly wasn't going to participate. Now, if they drugged me, that might be one thing. I might be forced to participate. But knowing me, I would crawl my drugged ass out of there. Just hurl myself out of a window. I have very, very strong survival instincts. And, I just never got the vibe that the people I was dealing with in LA were being honest. And now I know why they're duplicitous. I mean, what are people doing? Is this how you party? You just let people run up in you at gay parties, but you're pretending to be straight? And that's my issue with all of this Puffy stuff and all the other people he's violating, and people who become violators, allegedly, like Usher, you know. So, like I told you guys, there's a very strong rumor that Puffy, when he had custody of Usher for a year, which I will never understand how a mother does that. I'm not judging her. I just don't understand that. I remember freaking out when my little nephew would have to go to the bathroom. Not at 14, but certainly when he was a little boy. And I would be like, you got to go in the ladies' room. And then there was a point where he was like, I can go in the boys' room. And I would just be like staring hawkishly at the door like, don't you try it. And I was young. I mean, when he was 7 or 8, I wasn't that much older, maybe 25. But I have always had a heightened sense of safety. Like, do not touch that little baby or I'm going to dismember you. And that's the way I felt until I felt like he was old enough to take care of himself and make smart decisions. And he was just my nephew. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine being like, okay, Jeremy, go live with Puffy for, you know, a whole year unsupervised. Like, that was would never, ever, ever happen. Like, his mother wouldn't have let it happen, but I wouldn't have let it happen either. You know, and I just don't get it. And apparently Usher was attacked. There is a strong rumor at least two of these people who are doing all the talking on, like, YouTube and TikTok, at least two of these people have said that Usher had his, you know, his butthole. I don't know how to say it. Like, I was looking. This is not funny at all. I apologize. I'm not a professional journalist, and this proves it. I'm laughing at myself because I was trying to be all, like, delicate and find the right word, but it's either asshole, butthole, oh, anus, that he... Sorry. Oh, this is not funny. But anyway, I'm laughing at me, not this young boy's anus being ripped open. Apparently, two of the people, Jaguar Wright and Gene Deal, who used to be Puffy's bodyguard, at that time when he was there, Usher had to go to the hospital with a bleeding anus. And his mother had to come up there and see about him in the hospital. So he was a victim. He was a victim of Puffy. And now he just worships Puffy. He'll never say anything bad about Puffy. That's why he got the Super Bowl. I mean, he has made peace with all the things that he's done because he likes the lifestyle that he has. But I definitely think Usher has some. There were some moments in that Super Bowl performance. I was like, he seems a little zesty. These seem like gay men moves. And you know there's a man or two that have sued Usher for giving them herpes. So not only did Puffy give this young man herpes, which is commonly believed on the internet, allegedly, which would have made him a sex predator because Usher was a little boy. But also he was probably grooming this kid, you know, because that's what they do. And so that's the scuttlebutt that they, no pun intended, that he gave him herpes allegedly, and that, he hurt him, injured him. And then Usher brings Justin Bieber to the record industry after seeing his YouTube popularity. And then they pimp this kid out. So Usher goes from victim to also abuser, which is very common. I refuse to Google it because I don't want Google thinking this is what I'm into. But I believe it's common that when people get molested, they eventually become molesters. That is a very common occurrence. Whenever you see a case of some old, you know, person having sex with a bunch of kids, you automatically know that person was also, in an overwhelming sense, probably abused. So, yeah, and the internet is all over this. Then there's, I was signing off, but this is fascinating. There's this whole other chapter of this Puffy story that links him to the Kardashians. And this is wild. Like, there's this person named Lou Taylor. It's a woman. And she is married to a pastor of some sort of church. And she's also sitting on the board of a bunch of churches. And so the best way to launder and hide money is through a church because they're tax exempt and people don't look into churches. They don't get investigated, right? So this lady sits on all these church boards. She's very close to the Kardashians. She was very instrumental in keeping Britney Spears in a conservatorship. And there seems to be some evidence that some of the money that she was taking from Britney has been used to fund several things involving the Kardashians. And I also think Puffy, I can't remember the Puffy connection, but basically this web is very, very, very deep and wide. And anybody who has any business dealings with Puffy may or may not have had laundered money from this lady who is in charge of Justin Bieber's career. She was the person who was in charge of Britney's money. And she tried to put Lindsay Lohan in a conservatorship. Lindsay Lohan fled the country and I guess escaped this lady's claws. She tried to put someone else in a conservatorship. Like, what the fuck is going on? So that's why when you see that people aren't liquid like you thought they were, they're not rich like you thought they were, it's because they're in these fucked up ass deals with these people who are controlling them. So it's like they get them drunk, they get them high, they get them doing something that they shouldn't be doing on camera. These people become, it's like bullying. They get afraid, you know, and they own you, you know. So if they got video of you being inappropriate with a child or you being inappropriate with, you know, something that would really damage your reputation and your fan base would be appalled and you would be shamed, they go for it. And then they put you in these conservatorships if they can and just work you and make you work. And they take all your fucking money. And y'all so busy out here worrying about slavery being gone and worrying about, you know, if black people are getting enough attention because slavery, listen, slavery is not over. It just looks different. Me and one of my friends said that probably 5 years ago. But I didn't even know about no shit like this. This is insane. And all these people are about my age. And all these people had to have entered the business at the same time. And that's why I honestly feel like that's why I couldn't get any traction. Not because I lack talent. I'm very talented. I believe that. I know that. But the energy was off. I never, ever loved the energy. The only person I met and I trusted and I liked was Guymon Cassidy. His name is Guymon Cassidy, and he was one of the producers on Game of Thrones. But almost everybody else was weird or socially awkward or emotionally distant. They all kind of felt like zombies to me. And this includes execs at Warner Brothers. I did like Bill Gerber. He had a lot of passion. And a lot of them, the rest of them seemed dead behind the eyes, you know, to me. I couldn't connect with them. And Bill Gerber did me a solid and had one of my scripts, got some coverage, got it covered, which means they read it and decide if they want to produce it. So they said no. So it's sitting somewhere in Warner's. But, you know, I did like Bill Gerber, and he's gone on to produce like the Batman movies. And I mean, it's Batman, but the plural of man is men. Anyway, he's had a very successful production career, and it would have been nice to have worked with him, but I mean, I don't know. He might have been at these parties. I don't know. I don't know. So I don't want to besmirch his name. He was he was the most receptive to me, and he actually had the most emotion of all of the people I dealt with. Maybe Lucy Fisher, I think that was her name. She was actually kind of cool, I think. She had a cool office and a really great book that I started reading, and I forgot what it was, but it was about film, and I wish I had. We didn't have cell phones back then, so I couldn't take a picture of the cover. But anyway, those two people might be the only execs that I connected with. Everybody else seemed weird and vacant. But yeah, I don't know. This industry seems very, very broken. And, you know, Puffy has been connected to all of it. And the Kardashians, who also own a church, FYI, I think they've just been laundering money. That's why. So you look at TV and you're like, how are the Kardashians so rich? I never understood that. I don't know all their names. I've been very proud to not know anything about them. I just wasn't interested. But it makes sense because you see their names on all these different things. And why do they only want black boyfriends and husbands, except for the one? I don't understand that. One of them has a white husband right now. They don't always, and they all have to have babies by black people. Like, that's weird. I think it's strange. They're a strange family. And I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like they've been laundering money, and that's how they stay wealthy until their rotten asses wind up in prison to hold people captive and then hide the money in the church. I mean, if you want a sort of fast ticket to hell, that'll do it. I don't know what you believe hell is, but they go in there. Whatever version of it exists. That's where they belong. I don't think they're good people at all. At all. And I never care for them. Who, you know, getting famous off of making a sex tape with your boyfriend, then accusing him of leaking it to the media when there's evidence that the mom watched the video and helped edit it and put it out. Now, what kind of mother can watch their daughter having sex and making a porn movie to make them famous? That lets you know something not right with them anyway. And people just overlook it and act like that's normal. That's not normal. Very weird. And shit is getting exposed. And I'm here for it. But be on the lookout. This Puffy thing is so much deeper than what people think. And he may not go to prison. I have a feeling that he's going to narc on a lot of people and save himself some prison time. But If they find out this child sex trafficking thing was real, then he's definitely going to prison. Nobody likes child sex traffickers, and no one wants to look like they are a child sex trafficker empathizer. Like, no one's going to go down for that. So, we'll see. And I think he might be found implicated in Tupac's murder and Biggie's murder. He didn't care for either one of them. And let's be honest, what kind of career would he have had if Big stayed alive and then moved on from him? Which sounds crazy. Like, grow up. Like, who would... But I'm telling you, these people seem to be dangerous and violent like ancient times. You know, off with your head. You didn't laugh at my joke. Burn them at the stake. Like, it doesn't make sense. But if you Caligula and your brain is crazy and you sex crazed and you do a lot of drugs, you know, because it sounds like Puffy became a monster when he became a drug addict. Because I'm telling you, if you listen to the drugs, like apparently this Toosie thing that he loves, the pink cocaine, is cocaine, ketamine, and food coloring and something else. It's like, damn, how many drugs do you need? You know, it's some sort of weird sex cocktail that apparently the gays have been in love with for a while. That's what I heard. Now, I don't want to besmirch no gay person. Y'all do y'all. But, I mean, if I wouldn't claim Puff. Because Puffy's the worst kind of person. He pretends to be one thing to the public and is a fucking demon in private. These things that he's doing are not healthy behavior. Plus, stop pretending to be straight and having all this unprotected sex with women. Because I think that camp is full of people like Dwayne Wade. I think LeBron is probably in that camp. And I'm not trying to badmouth any of these guys. This is just allegedly. I don't know them. But I think this circle of secret gay men with wives and children is very vast and huge. And we're going to be shocked by a lot of the names. Now, you can be secretly gay and not be a pedophile. But I think some of these people are also secretly gay and pedophiles. Okay? And it's way more people than you think. Way more. Because they were probably molested. Say with me. They were probably molested. Because that's how it goes. It goes in cycles. They loathe that they were violated. And then they become violators. And no one's going to give them therapy and they're not going to get any help. And it's just going to continue a very vicious cycle. I don't know. And it's all speculation. I'm completely speculating. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. All right. Now I'm really signing off. Have an amazing Friday. Take care of yourselves. This month is flying by. We're already at April 19th. We got a week and a half left of April. Let's make something positive happen for ourselves. Take care of yourself, and we'll meet back here next week. Be good.